Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Action Park Media.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment, food as sport, food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. My guest today is Stavros Halkias, a stand-up comedian and co-host of the popular podcast Come Town. You can find him on Instagram at StaviBaby2, and you can find his wildly inspirational calendar at Stavi.biz.
Stavros Halkias, welcome to the American Glutton Podcast.
Dude, thank you so much for having me. I'm a huge, this is crazy. You have no idea. Like, this would blow, like, from Boy Meets World on year old me's mind that we're doing this right now.
Really?
That, yeah, oh, yeah. The Vader ep of Boy Meets World for a plus size child was huge. You want to talk about representation mattering? That was like, I talked about that for months.
That's so awesome. There's,
yeah, dude. So I'm fucking pumped. I'm so stoked.
I'm so stoked for you to be here. I strangely feel like we know each other simply because I love your podcast.
And yeah, hell yeah.
I listen to you every week. And I just was like, I heard you talking about a diet the other day, and I was like, holy shit, maybe I could talk to him.
Yeah, dude. Oh, it didn't take the diet. You could have hit me up. It was the same way because we've DM'd a little bit, and I'm always like, I think we both know each other from like – just outside of each other's work. It's like where you feel like you know the guy, but you don't actually know them. So I think both of us were kind of like, don't want to be like an asshole who's like oversteps their bounds, but you could at any time, bro, this could have just been a FaceTime, but I'm happy to do the pod.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Yeah, dude.
You honestly are one of the guys. And I think I would say this if I had to make a list of guys who I had some kind of like confidence envy in, you are way up there.
Oh, wow. Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
You're everything you do, but your calendar. I mean,
yeah,
it's incredible. And I just go like, look at how happy and free and confident he is. And obviously you're nothing. I don't want to say that we're even comparable to where I was at my heaviest.
Totally. No. Don't feel free, bro. This is we're simpatico here. We've both been we're soldiers in the same fight.
We're at least in the same military.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you're a bigger guy than, you know, I'm like, I'm 5'7", you know, like at my biggest, I was like, you know, at my biggest, I was probably like 325.
Really?
So it's like, you know, it's not the same, but it's, for height and everything, it's like, you know, similar.
I look at guys like Jack Black, anybody who doesn't look like a bikini model or like a male fitness guy, and
will
take their shirt off, and like, and not only that, but like
there's absolutely nothing. Like, I want to cuddle you and snuggle you when I see you left the bed. Like,
yeah,
for real.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just go like, what did your parents do right?
Yeah, I think, well, it was a mix of like, I mean, any like artist, any like performer, whatever, I feel like it's a mix of like, you get both extremes. You know what I mean? Like you get like my mom, the answer is my mom, right? Like, let's just start there. She is like, you want to talk about like a cute, like chubby Eastern European woman that will like, if you were to come over my house, you do not leave without getting dessert. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what's going on. She was, my favorite story is like, there was one time in high school where my friend was coming to pick me up and we were going to see a movie. And my mom was like, stall her. I was like, what do you mean? She's not coming in. She was just like, no, stall her. And somehow in like 11 minutes, she just had fresh brownies. Like, I don't know what mom magic she used, but she like made us take brownies to go, fresh brownies to go to the movies. It wasn't like she was coming over, my friend. It was like, no, I'm going outside and she's picking me up. Mom was like, I don't care. You're getting her brownies. So it's like, my mom was like so loving, so, and such confidence in her kids, where it was like, she thought I was like one of those kids that was going to go to Harvard. You know what I mean? Like, just, she was one of these people that's like, oh, you know, can do no wrong. And, even when I did comedy, like when I decided, I was like, cause I've been doing stand-up since I was 19 and it was kind of the thing I always wanted to do. When I kind of told that to her, she's totally supportive now, but at the very beginning she wasn't supportive, because she was like, she almost thought, she was like, well, you're robbing the world of your intellect. Like, she thought I was like, you know what I mean? Like, the world, I think the world's going to be fine, mom. You know what I mean? But it's like, so she just so wildly believed in me. I think that was like a big part of it. I felt that way. And then on the other extreme, you know, I have like the immigrant dad who it's like, you know, nothing's good. So it's like, you have like the support, and then also you're always trying to prove something to somebody else. You know what I mean? So it was like, it's like that perfect swirl of like, oh, well, I like, you know, attention, you know, I want to go out and get like people's attention. Right. Which, you know, I think performers are, you know, actors, all that. It's a similar, some way. I feel like we all share that kind of, you know, makeup in some way, but yeah. You know, from in terms of the body image stuff, though, it was like, I don't know, man. It was just always, don't get me wrong. I was young. I was like a pool shirt in the pool type of, you know what I mean? Like, it's definitely very young. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking like elementary school, but there was something about realizing early on that it was like your personality. Like, I just got, I won people over by just being funny. Like, you know, even being, you know, very early on, it's sort of, you use being the fat kid is like a bit, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's the self-deprecating stuff. And it's like, and then it just kind of grows. And over time, it's like, well, you know, everyone sort of, you know, everyone kind of likes me, all this kind of stuff. So it's like, I don't have to rely on it as much. But, you know, I think that's where it starts. It's like, oh, I can just like, I can turn whatever a weakness is into like a strength, right? Like, what most people would be like ashamed of or whatever. It's like, oh, this is, I get, it's funny when I do a cannonball. Are you kidding me? Was it, you can't crush harder than doing a cannonball when you're like a fat 8 year old. Everyone's like, yeah, you know? And it's like, you know, just,
it's
like,
it's disappointing if we don't do it. If we don't do it, we've broken some rule.
Yeah. 100%.
I think my mom very much wanted to be, I mean, I think she was that supportive of me and had utter faith in me and belief, and believed so much more for me than I ever believed for myself. But there was a constant, like, we got to fix him. And
yeah.
And that, and, you know, like, look, I'm not going to say I have a host of problems. I would never
totally,
say it's
totally
my parents' fault.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I do try to figure out like, why did I struggle with this so much? And when I finally like started having solutions that really worked for myself, it was like the opposite of what I was taught. And I happened to be taught my whole life, like time after time, like, well, you have a problem eating this type of food, so we're going to cut this out. And it was every type of food you could imagine, like processed foods are bad. And then it was like, white foods, nothing white, and that includes turkey. Suddenly, all
right.
Like,
yeah. Chicken breast is bad.
Yeah, chicken breast. And then, well, we were wrong about that. And every year, a fucking hokey test, and we're out here in LA, and they have like legitimate crazy people offering diet advice. And I remember doing like fucking stool samples as a kid, where I'm like, "What are you doing? This is crazy." So when I finally came to it and was like, I want to change, my instinct was, well, let me figure out what's poisoning me. And then I just struggled with that for a long time. So for me, hearing you talk a week or two ago about like, I got to get a meal and I'm only allowed 35 grams of carbs. I was like, I hear you. I more often than not am hearing you talk about Greek food and I'm salivating and I'm
the real
shit. And so that was something else, and I was just super interested in that.
Well so I mean my relationship with food is like, so it's the I've done all types of drugs. I've gotten all kinds of fucked up. The only thing I've ever struggled addiction wise is food. Like weed a little bit, but it's not even like, it's not that I even get addicted to it. It's like, it actually, because it's like, you know, it feeds the how hungry I get and how much I eat and like all that kind of stuff. So my biggest substance problem has always been food. And, you know, going back to what you said about your, like your parents are always trying to, they were looking for something to fix. And it was like, they supported you. With me, it was always like, I think my mom shared that food thing. You know what I mean? So it was like, for her, it was, and she struggled with weight. And I think she had the instinct to shield me from that kind of criticism that she probably dealt with as a kid. So it was like, whenever she wanted to get me to lose weight, and there were times in my life, like I've yo-yoed a bunch, right? Like whenever she did, it was like, it was almost like, well, I know you struggle with this. Let's figure something out that works. Right. And it was like, there were times in my life where I literally would go, I was like a little fat kid in Weight Watchers with my mom, you know, like I was like, and it was like, I was like the mascot for me and all these like, you know, chubby ladies. They really loved me. Yeah. And, but it was like, there was, it's true in terms of, it's the thing I love the most, right? Like I can't any way around it. It's like, if you're telling me what is like a treat, right? It's not. And, you know, there might, you know, I like to go on the beach, you know, I like to go on the beach. It's like vacation, but it's always like, well, what's the meal we're getting after the beach? It's like, you know, I went to Greece as a kid. It's like, I love hanging out on the beach, but it's like, I love that like fresh calamari that you get after right there. And it's like, everything is so intertwined. And even like, you know, when I was a little kid, it was like, my favorite memories were like, I would get to be alone in the kit, like when I was in the kitchen, when I was like, I earned kitchen privileges at like 10, and I'm like 10 years old watching TV by myself, just making these like quadruple deck grilled cheeses. You know what I mean? Like, like just like going buck wild in the pantry. And so for me to get to any kind of diet thing really is like a long, it really took a really long time, especially off of like the back of like the pandemic, where it's like, I deal with my stress straight up. Again, the same way people fall into their addictions, I fell like face first into it. So currently what I'm doing, actually, which I found out, I'm actually doing the RP stuff, which
I'm doing that too. Yeah. I love
RP. My little brother told me, cause he was like, when we were like DMing, my brother, who has been the reason when I've gotten into shape, it's my little brother. I mean, if you can believe it, I am like I'm like a fat comedian, and my brother's like a strength and conditioning coach. So it's like, yeah. My brother's the head strength coach at Campanero Fitness in Maryland. Great place, great gym. Those guys rock too. But it's like, when I told my brother, he was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, cause he got me on RP. It was like the kind of thing where, so now it's like this thing, I mean, all your listeners will know about it, but for me, if you had told me that even 4 months ago, I'd be like, there is no chance that I can do this. Cause it's like pretty regimented, you know how it goes. It's like, you get your carbs and stuff. Everything is like your macros. But the way I got onto the diet is by just, I really almost got the biggest I'd ever gotten during the pandemic, because, you know, everyone says it, but like, everyone's like, oh, 2020 was going to be a great year for me, you know? And it's like, it really was going to be an awesome year for me. Like, I had some really like exciting career stuff that was going to happen. I was going to go on an international tour. It was like London, you know, Ireland, Australia. I was going to do some big festivals in the States. Like, I was going to film some stuff. It was like every, like a lot of stuff that I had worked for was coming up. And then to just like lose that and then be forced to be in your home. And then also like the people are telling you like, oh no, you need to order food to sustain the economy. You know what right. I mean? Like you're getting a medal of honor for getting nachos three times a day. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I was like, oh, I have to, I'm a hero by getting Chinese food all the time. So yeah. It was just a perfect, like, you know, swerve, like everything was, and being away from people, like there's no peer pressure, like anything, everything like was the perfect storm. And I just got up to like 315, you know, and it was like, I wasn't great because I had, you know, I had a foot injury and I was like kind of struggling 2019, but I was kind of getting a hold of it. And then September, I was just like, what am I doing here? Like, I just feel bad. I don't like, I just feel unhealthy. It's never, and kind of to what your point, it hasn't really been a looks thing for me. I got to be honest. Like I am over that. I kind of like, I also kind of like being fat. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of like the vibe that it's just like, it's also who I've been my whole life. It'd be like, I don't even have the like, oh, I want to get ripped one time. You know, like right. A lot of people say that where it's like when you got down, you were like, I wanted to get abs.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't give a fuck about abs. Right. I don't care at all. It's like, for me, it was more just like, well, I'm doing the like Tony Soprano nose breathing every instant that I'm awake. You know what I mean? It's right. Like, I can't, like, I'm looking like season six Tony,
yeah.
You know, and I'm a 32-year-old man who's not who doesn't have the stressors of being a mob boss. You know what I mean? So, and September, I just kind of like, I was like, I can't keep doing this. I got to like do something. And I just like went back to Maryland, worked out with my little brother. I worked out with Nick for a couple weeks, just got like an Airbnb because I just wanted to be totally away from like everything. And it was like, and I just kind of was like, all right, I'm just going to start eating things I know to be healthy. Right. Because it's like, you know, I wasn't ready for a diet, but it was like no more fried shit, but you have some salmon, you have some broccoli, you have some brown rice. I'm not measuring anything, but it's like just this right now is like enough. Right. And I just kind of incrementally tried different stuff. I gave myself a different fitness goal every month at first, where it was like, I'm going to walk 10,000 steps every day. Then it was like, I'm going to do yoga every day. Then it was like, I'm going to walk 20,000 steps this, you know, cause I was kind of too big and unhealthy to like lift yet. So it was like, let's just slowly get my body up to the point where I can do it. And then it was like, all right, we'll do some light body weight exercises. And then to the point where it's now, you know, April or whatever. And I, you know, and then it was like, let me track my calories. And now it's like, all right, now I understand I can do like a regimented thing. I can do RP now. Like, I've built my way up to it over 6 months or whatever it's been. And now it's like, I'm lifting. I have my diet going really well. And but it's crazy. Cause it's like, just to get here, which is like being having like a pretty nice regimented, you know, fat loss plan. It took me 6 months just to be able to wrap my head around it, you know? And I think that's what's tough for a lot of people and what's been tough for me in the past. I mean, I'm really lucky. My brother is a strength conditioning coach, you know, he's been doing like RP and, you know, and I also, you know, I'm a fucking podcaster. Like, I have the free time, you know what I mean? It's like either, you know, work out and go on a long walk and meal prep or just like watch three movies and get high, you know what I mean? It's like, I got the time. So like, I'm very lucky, but even with all those like advantages, it was still really fucking hard. And it still took like me just being like, you know, just feeling like my body physically feeling bad, you know?
Yeah.
But let
me ask you this, because from I've talked to most of the people, like the heads of RP, and I've had them on the show and I've talked to them about different stuff. And the way you're describing getting to the point of like, okay, now I'm going to start restricting food is actually kind of the way like Dr. Mel, who wrote a whole book on changing habits and her whole point was like, we don't like the ideal wouldn't just be like day one, you start on a diet and you start
right.
eating food. It's like, let's start changing stuff that's pretty easy to change, but leads us into a way of being more responsible for what we're eating. And then eventually get to the point where that's easy or that's less difficult and less stressful. And then we're doing something else.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
So you just like fell into that. Was your brother talking to you about that? Or did you just, was this just like, I want to make a change?
Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit my brother, but again, the thing about my family is like my brother's really good in that he is supportive when you want him to be there, but he'll never like, cause I mean, the funny thing is he eats more than me. Like, you like gluttony, you know, is very, that's, that runs in the family. So it's like my right. brother, you should see this motherfucker on his like cheat days. It's like, we'll have a whole meal that I'm like tapped out at. And then he'll just be like, I'm actually just going to get another entree and then right. two ice cream cones. And I'm like, how the fuck is this? Like, it's insane. It's yeah. really like, I don't know how you're doing it. So, and he is like a really, I mean, he's great at his job. And it's like, he understands, cause he's a very, you know, I think a lot of people that get into like strength and conditioning, they are like, they're just kind of like freaks of nature on some level. Like, they got it. They have the gene. They know how they want to work out. They know how to get in the best shape. But they, some people, you know, and I got to say that I'm not talking about the RP, but like, shout out to my boy, Alex Harrison's my coach. They're great about like breaking it down for you. But I have met, cause I've tried again, right? Like, I'm sure you tried, you had different trainers. A lot of people just don't know how to relate to another human being who does not, has maybe the opposite relationship you do with exercise. Like, to them, yeah. it's like,
this exercise, is all you do. It's so easy.
Yeah, exactly. To them, exercise is what like a cheesesteak is to us. You yeah. know what I mean? It's like lat pull downs fill that hole in their soul right. where it's like, you know, we need fucking, you know, cheese or whatever. So he was really good about just kind of like, I would tell him what I was thinking and he would just kind of support me. He never really pushed me one direction or another. He probably, honestly, looking back, he probably could have, there's certain things he could have, but I like that he didn't. Cause it was like, it all just sort of came from me, you know, where it was like, this is what I'm capable of right now. And then when I told him I wanted to like, cause he designs my workouts, my brother, you know, Alex does my, you know, like my diet, but my brother, I like, you know, working, it's another excuse to talk to him more and all this kind of stuff. So when I was like, dude, I think I want to start lifting weights for real, he was fucking over the moon. But he would never, I never felt like, oh, I really need to start lifting weights because Nick will love it. It's like, he kind of kept that for me, but it's like, it was like, it's crazy how excited for me. It was like Christmas. He was like, yeah, dude, I'd love to. Yeah. So, yeah, I just kind of, it really was just like what I was capable of to, you know, Ethan, it was like, I didn't really think about it. It was just like, bro, I want to get here. I can't even imagine it, but like, it was almost like by necessity, let's take it one step at a time, because I really had just gotten, it was just like, I was also depressed. It was just like a lot of stuff was going on. Like, my mental health was bad, my, you know, addicted to your phone, all this kind of stuff that was like, you know, so it was just, I had to take it one step at a time. And my brother was there to kind of like guide me where I could. And now I feel good because I used to take a lot more trips down to Baltimore, you know, where we grew up, and my brother lives outside of there now. But now it's like, I've got me and my roommate, we just like rented out the basement in our apartment building and we turned it into a gym, you know? Wow. And it's like now I don't, I feel like I am self-sufficient in terms of like the exercise stuff in terms of that. But it took, like I said, dude, it took like 6 months and like, it was my focus every day. Like, there was yeah. like, I did some work, like, you know, there was no stand up that's coming back now, but, and I worked on a couple projects here and there, like trying to write, but like, what I said was like, no, this, I'm taking this time because when the world comes back, I want to at least have a base level of like feeling good, yeah. just, you know, health wise. But
yeah, I think that what I ran into time and time again, and what I talked to a lot of people who run into this, is like waking up one day and experiencing much of what you experience, where you're just like, I can't, this is not it. I want to change. Yeah. And the instinct is like, how do I change as fast as possible?
Yeah, 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 for sure.
And then that, for me, failed every time. And
every single time.
Yeah, and so it took a long time for me to even get to the point where I was like, well, I'm just going to take it much slower and hope for a better outcome because of that. But the anxiety of like, you could do more, you're not doing enough.
Absolutely.
It's taking too long. It's constantly there. It's fucking awesome, dude, that this is how you're doing it, and you're killing it.
Yeah, thanks, dude. I'm trying really. It's just the thing is, though, I am nervous, though, right? Because it's like I've been there before, where it's like I've been successful before, right? Like college, like one of my favorite memories is like when my brother was still just an undergrad and like starting to understand this stuff. And I was like on break from college. One of the best summer breaks I ever had was me and him just kind of like working out every day. And like I lost a ton of weight and I was feeling really good. And then like I just got a girlfriend. I was like 20, you know, and I was like, I got pussy, and I was like, all right, well, I'm done working out, like I got the fuck, so it's like
and then I just
yeah. So at that point, that was the goal, right? And then I was like, okay, this is over, and I just got like, just let myself go again. And then I was getting into pretty good shape maybe 3 years ago, where I was just like biking a lot, and I was like okay, this is sustainable, I just feel healthier. And then I had like this big foot injury, and that really set me back. And now it's like, I'm just doing it for myself and for my health. So in that sense, I feel confident, because I feel like, you know, there aren't really any outside factors, right? Like I'm never going to, no one is going to change. Like the interest from girls, like I've learned how to, you know, you also learn like, there's a person that wants to fuck every kind of person. I think I'm the cutest 5'7", 270 pound man in the world, right? I will go to bat.
For sure.
You know, so if that's your type, I'm a number one, you know, so I'm not worried about that. So that factor is gone. Really all that matters now is like, and even like, you know, entertainment business wise, it's like, you know, whatever, I'd like to act a little bit more, but I'm also from this position of like comedy where you do everything yourself, where it's like, I'll shoot my own shit. I don't like, it'd be cool to get stuff, but I'll work my way up to it. There's no external factors that like, if I gain acceptance from them, that I'll automatically be like, okay, it's over. Like it's coming from me. But at the same time, my life before the pandemic, like the thing that I was sort of mourning that got me to get like that, because I was so sad, I ballooned up again. That was a really fun life. It was awesome, but it was also incredibly unhealthy, like from every standpoint, not just like weight, but it's like mental health. And like, there's no schedules and you're up late and then you might have to wake up early and you're traveling constantly. So I am a little nervous about this, right? Cause I'm going back to it. It's just happening. Like starting in August, I'm touring all the time. I'm going to be performing more, and I love it and I'm excited for it. But there is a little part of me that's like, it's going to be a lot harder than like your whole goal in life is to just like feel better. When you start folding in a full time, you know, again, podcasting is like, whatever. I work maybe at this point, like my work is like, you know, all throughout a whole week, it's like 10 hours, right? It's like nothing. So it's like, I have plenty of time. But then when you start folding in all these shows and all this writing and all this, like the logistical bullshit you have to do and all the, I'm like, damn, like, I'm going to be able to do it. I'm going to figure it out. And again, the slow pace, what you said earlier, it's like, I'm just going to take this slow and whatever. Maybe it's not like, maybe I'm not losing weight at this pace, right? Like, but I just got to keep my diet, but you know, I just got to keep the habits, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous about it, you know?
Yeah, no, I told that, that makes a lot of sense to me. I'm over the past 20 years, not in the past five, but the 15, where I would take 200 pounds off and then get a job and somehow put 50 on over the course of a job, which is a couple of months.
Right, right.
And then over the course of My Name Is Earl, I think I gained 100 pounds, which is fucking insane. Because the whole time I was dieting. I mean,
insane,
like, they'd get Friday nights, they'd bring an In-N-Out truck in, and I'm eating the fucking burger without a bun, not taking fries. And even then I'm gaining 100 pounds over a couple of years. So that makes total sense to me, but I think that you can catch, especially if you're doing something the way you're doing it. It sounds to me like, you know, the other thing I like about the slow method, or like really plotting out lifestyle change,
totally,
is you can make lots of mistakes, and those mistakes are not like, you're not in the middle of something so hard that it's impossible to get back on after a mistake.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and then to something you said earlier, like I have so much understanding, and I can relate so much to the idea of travel and thinking about, like, context for me is always food.
The airport. Buck wild. Once you get to the airport, it's international waters. You're like,
oh my God.
I'm going to need a Toblerone to survive this flight.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking Seattle. I need a Toblerone and like to stop at the Popeye. I need my nutrition.
Yeah.
God forbid I starve on this 5-hour flight.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You want to saddle up, and then my kids are like, I try to travel with my kids and say like, we can go anywhere in the world, obviously not in the last year, but like we've had these plans and we've done it a bunch, and every time it's, they say a country and I'm just associating it with food. It's just, what are we going to eat there?
Then I go
like, sorry guys, the only place I don't want to go is India, because I'm not really into their food. Like, I don't really care about seeing the Taj Mahal, because that's not my deal. Anywhere else we can go.
Right.
But also how I do use cheesesteaks and I do use cheeseburgers and pizza. And then even like I've found a gluten-free pizza, which I was brainwashed into believing would meet my energy better than a regular pizza.
right.
And I'll fucking eat.
It ain't the gluten.
I've gotten to a place where the lat pull downs actually do take up that space that I need to fill within me, that and it's the weirdest thing when I think about food now that isn't on my plan. Like, maybe I have a moment where my mouth can salivate, but it's also the experience. Like, I need to be in a binge watching marathon of a show and have food for 4 hours and have backups and like really
poison
myself.
You
know what I mean?
Dude, I totally know what you mean. And I'm in that zone now too. Don't get me wrong. But for me, it's always been so much about momentum where, like, again, I couldn't, if you would describe to me what I just had, like I just had for lunch, right? Which was 113 grams of chicken breast, like a handful of cabbage and a handful of spinach and a dressing that I made out of Greek yogurt, 7 milliliters of olive oil, and like shaved garlic, I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking? If you told me, I'd be like, no, I didn't. Like, I don't know what guy that looks like me that you saw in the future eating that, but that's not me.
Right.
I couldn't even fathom this even 2 months. Like, even the day I started RP, I couldn't have fathomed what my day to day and what my day to day looks like. And I've been I hurt my like forearm. So it's like, I've taken the week off of lifting. And no joke, I'm like pissed off. I'm like, damn, I fucking want to go shred my tries, brother. You know what I mean? And it's like, and so I totally am in that. And that's kind of what I'm talking about in terms of my nerves. It's like, bro, I don't recognize the guy that I am, and I like it, and I'm happier, and I'm more mindful. And just like, I've made so many changes. And that's what I'm talking about. It's like, but at the same time, you tell me, like, I can't imagine like stuff I liked. Like, it's like, oh, I can't believe I lived like that. Like, I can't fathom it, but I also know how quickly I could go back. Like, I've been sober too, like this last stretch, because I'm just like, let's do a wellness everything, right?
Yeah.
With the exception of one time where I like went out, I met up with somebody, and you know, I stuck on my diet all day, and I just like, I smoked just a little bit of weed, right? Like, no big deal. And I was like, it's the end of the night. I got my late night fucking whey and like 35 grams of carbs and 15 grams of fat. I'm going to have I knew exactly what I was going to do. I'm going to make and that's the other fun thing about this, is that at the end of the day, you're still got those fat genes, like the fat like inventiveness still exists. So it's like, it's almost like a challenge of like, can you make this delicious? Like, how true to the game are you, right? Like, yeah. I've been blowing my brother's minds with like the little hacks that I like, the dressings I make out of just 47 grams Greek yogurt, but that still gives me enough protein for meat. And it's like, I have avocado and I have this like, you know, this like seasoning and this hot sauce. And if I get it just right, it tastes like Caesar dress, like full fat Caesar dressing, you know, it's like fat alchemy that I'm doing out of this stuff. And it's like, I had that. I was like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. The brand of casein that gets extra thick. And if you just put a little bit, it's almost like pudding. You know what I mean? Like, yes. So I'm going to have my little pudding. I have a almond butter that I put over one slice of whole grain, like, you know, this honey oat shit that's like good for you, but also tastes good. And I'm going to slice up just like a thin amount of banana over the top. Right. And it's fully in my macros. I'm not like cheating whatsoever eating that. And I'm like, it's all good. Like, I'll get home. I'll take the Uber back. And I'm like, perfect. I have this meal ready to go. But there was just something about that, like being high and it's 1 a.m. and, you know, I just hooked up with a girl and I'm just like in party mode. I'm like celebration mode,
yeah,
where it's like every night of my life. It's like if I go to a show and then I fuck, it's like I'm eating a whole pizza as my championship trophy. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
you need so to that, refuel yeah, be a yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was what was in my head. And it's like, and look, I didn't go crazy. Like, I felt bad the next day, but it was like, you know, okay, so I ate all of that. And then I had like a couple things of smoked salmon and like a baby bell cheese and like, you know, like some fruit or whatever. Right. And I was like, oh, I really went overboard. Right. And it's like, I'm so happy that I'm in a zone where that's considered going overboard, like just a couple healthy fats or whatever. But yeah. I was like, but if you had told, but I didn't think that was like when I left my home, I thought, no, I'm not going to be tempted even a little. Like, so it's just the shit that you don't see. Right. Cause it's like right now I feel invincible right now. I'm like, I'm in the like zone where I'm like, yeah, dude, I'll eat my little salads on my off days. Like, I know exactly what to do. You know, casein is that is my dessert. Like, I feel it. Right now, as I'm talking to you, I can't imagine like going off the rails, but the comedy club that, you know, my favorite, the Stand, right? My the club that works me the most. They've always been great to me as soon as I moved to New York, you know, they're just like, I'm tweeting about today. I tweeted like, hey, my vax is kicking in. Like, I'm ready to get back out there. Like, are there any shows I can do? Are there any venues? And the Stand was just like, come home. Right. And I was like, and what flashed in my head immediately was like, damn, they got that brick oven pizza. They got these awesome chicken wings. They got the artichokes, the fried artichokes with the sauce. And I'm just like, this, it took 3 seconds of them being like, please come here, for me to start thinking about like, I'm already excusing a future cheat meal. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I'm not there, but I'm like, well, what if it's late and there's no food and I left my lunch at home, and I'm just like already, and I'm like, I'm fucking toast. I'm done. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. I'm sure for me, the key is going to be like preparation to like a crazy degree.
Right.
Because I just can't, left to my own devices, I know. I have 6 months of really good habits. I have 30 years of the worst ones of all time.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
But I think you're going into it the right way, because there's a version of people who get to the point where you're at and go, I am invincible. Put me in a new situation. Put me in a new country. Nothing affects me. And then what happens is, you wind up in an airport. They have nothing that fits your plan. Yep. You wind up at the only place, which is like, you know, in Chicago. I went into Chicago once, and the only thing that was open was in the airport was caramel popcorn.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Jesus. What the fuck do I do?
Yeah, you can't even get like fried chicken and peel off the skin. It's
nothing.
Like
no popcorn. Deep dish pizza, no hot dogs. It was just popcorn and like candy covered nuts. And I was like, insane. Well, I'm fucked, because this is like a layover. I've got 20 hours of traveling, and now I'm here. I don't have time to leave the airport. I am fucked. So I like wandered around for a while and then ate some fucking popcorn and felt shitty, but I wasn't hungry anymore. But I think that in the past has been enough to go like, well, this whole week is now done. I'm now gonna land in LA. I know where I'm gonna stop on my way home. I know what I'm gonna have delivered once I get there. I know what I'm eating tomorrow.
Yeah, for breakfast. Once you let your brain start imagining, you know what I mean? It's like it's done, it's over. Yeah. I could tell you right now, like if I was to not think about sticking on like with travel, like I'm probably gonna come to LA for like I'm trying to do some West Coast shows. I'm probably going to come to LA for like maybe a week, week and a half. And my plan is Airbnb, kitchen, like go shopping as soon as I get there. But if you allowed me to say, what if you couldn't? What if it? And I was like, well, I have 7 restaurants in 35 seconds at what I would order. I got it ready to go. I know the desserts I'd have. I know just like the friends I'd want to take where. It's just like, it really is, man. It's hard not to, and it does make me happy, right? Like that's the hard thing. Part of the ability to put this off is like in my head, I'm like, yeah, this is fine, and I'm gonna try and be healthy, and I wanna feel better and everything, but there's gonna be a time where I'm a fat old man. And I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. Yeah. There will be no worrying about my heart at a certain age. It's going to be like, I'm going to be like the guy, the grandpa from Little Miss Sunshine, but instead of heroin, it's going to be bacon cheeseburgers at a certain point. Where it's like, just take me out, brother. I'm going out the way, doing what I love. So it's like, in a weird way, a part of my mental thought process, like, all right, man, we're just waiting for the one big cheat day, the final cheat day in the sky. You know what I mean? It's like the cheat, the cheat era. But
I say this to my wife, and I think she thinks I'm kidding because she like laughs at me and like does this. And I say like, I never thought I'd make it to the average lifespan of an American male.
Right.
If I make it there, we are celebrating for the rest of my life. with food,
100%. Everything else is it's like you're playing with house money.
Yeah,
it's like I thought we're already a decade over where I thought we'd be. What I mean? It's like I think that's also part of it, right? Because it's like what age was it for you where you were like, all right, fuck it, let's really like. Yeah, and you also have like a family, right? Like you have like shit to live for, Dude, I got nothing.
Kids all over the country. I have wives. We have crazy, insane bills, and responsibility. I really didn't. I think it was like 22, but I didn't have. There was zero drive in me to do anything other than eat and do drugs and occasionally go to rehab when the drugs got way too out of hand.
Right
Until I met this girl and I was like, oh my god, imagine a fun life with her. That's way cooler than what I'm doing. I respect that you have come to this on your own so much. I think it's so applaudable.
Well, I'm going to say, it's kind of what you're talking about, where it's like with like the whole mortality thing, where at a certain point you're like, well, I could just keep doing this and it's fun. But it's like, I'm like 32 is like, I'm not old by any stretch, but I'm not young either. Right. Like you're right in the beginning of like, okay, like I don't want to hear anybody who's in their 20s talk about getting old, even when you're 29. And it's like, I'm sure there's people in their 50s listening right now. That's like, fuck off. But it's like, over like 32, it's like we're just like, I can see the first like prostate exam in the deep future, you know what I mean? Where it's like, and again, it's just purely a health thing. It's like, and it's like, I just want to feel good. Like I just don't want to feel bad. Like that's really it, it's like, because again, it's like the look doesn't bother me, but it was just like, I'm just tired of like, just like weird shit that you wouldn't think about. Just your sleep's not as good. It's like, it all is like worse. Everything just kind of like after a certain point, because I do believe like, because I also struggle with it too, because it's like, I don't on some level, I don't know, there's a little bit of like, am I a traitor to the plus size community? You know what I mean? Like, there's like, there is an element of that where I'm like, I like, don't get me wrong, I will never be a guy that's like 1-6, like whatever my BMI says I'm supposed to be, that ain't ever fucking happening. And yeah, it's like that's one step too far for me. Even me, I'd be like, I would feel weird being a skinny guy, right? Like,
dude, I got skinny for 10 minutes in my life and yeah, it was fucking awful. I hated it. And then it just became like, well, I have to be big. How do I be big and still find, like, it was a whole fucking crazy totally thing.
Yeah, no, that's great. Like, honestly, that is the model. Like, you really are the like model of like, no, we're staying big. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not ever going to be a little, because it's like, I'm a 5'7 guy that if I was BMI healthy or whatever, I would be like a fucking thin dude. I'd be in like size 31 jeans. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I'm still trying to get to the 30s just right at any point. So right, it's like, so yeah, I'm trying. That's the goal, is just like, I want to feel a little better. I want my penis to work like a charm. You know what I mean? It's like, when I got fat as hell, it was like, it's like I could take dick pills and it would be like a coin flip whether yeah, my dick would still get hard. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's like, well, we'll see. I mean, this is like, yeah, it's like, you know, just like you have to put medically dangerous amounts of dick pills in your body to even get anything going, you know, or it's like, all right, let's get to like under 40 waist and like one dick pill works. You know what I mean? Let's get to the point where you can buy them from medical websites, not like some sketchy. I was like buying dick stuff from like some guy that was like, "Oh, Venmo me and say it's like for lunch." You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was like some guy that worked like a research lab that was stealing like the shit I was putting into my body just to like be like, "All right, well, my body should be able to handle this." You know right what I mean?
It's takes like everything else. We're gonna yeah throw this at it too.
Yeah. So it's like I really just want to get to the point where it's like, you know, the goal has always been big arms, little titties. That's right, it. That's all I want, dude. Yeah. I just want to be. I want to be big. I want that like, that like that bouncer physique. That's yeah, that's really what I'm going for, is like, you know, get some big, because always, actually, what's funny is in terms of like body dysmorphia or like anything I've ever worried about, actually, it's never been getting like skinny or like not being fat. It's always been not being a strong enough fat guy, as funny right as that is. You know what I mean? Where it's like, because I was on the football team in high school, and I have like these like strong legs, right? Just like, cause I was a little kid. I was always a little fat kid and I was always athletic. So I played soccer and it was just like, for whatever reason, I just had like, and just my family is just kind of like thick in the haunches. Right? But I just could not, like, my bench was like pathetic and I couldn't do any of it. And I was like embarrassed. And I like, as a result, never like lifted weights and was just like, you know, weak in the upper body basically my whole life. And in a weird way, it's like that is more of a like a body goal for me and almost like a conquering. Like that is more important to me than losing weight. Like yeah, I swear to God, if I didn't have any health problems at 300 pounds, I really wouldn't give a fuck. You yeah know, as wild as that it sounds, but for me, it's like that actually feels like I'm conquering something else, because I was legitimately ashamed in like high school to be like a fat guy on the football team that couldn't bench, you know right what I mean? Like, so in a weird way, this is that like the getting jacked element of it and like the working out. And I love it too. It's like, it's that gives you a little bit of like, I just like the routine. And I also like it's ritual too, right? It's like just feeling like, I don't know, so much of even like, even doing drugs or eating food, it's like it really is the ritual of it. And it's like that I do like that about getting healthy, is like it is another ritual. It also reminds me of sports. Like I always loved being on a sports team, and this almost, you know, the camaraderie of it, and like me and my roommate both work out in our gym, and it's like we're both kind of on like these fitness things. And I have my little brother who I check in on, you know, he checks in with me. And then even doing the RP, it feels like, you know, you got like some, it's just like it feels like you are replacing these unhealthy rituals with like, okay, I know my little meals that I like, you know, I know my like indulgent, you know, oh, I'm having flank steak today. You know what I mean? Like it's not yeah chicken breast. It's like, I'm going to marinate a flanks, and it's like, I've earned it, you know? And it's yeah just like, yeah, that is like the coolest part of it, is like just trying to, it, you know, switch it, swap, swap the things out and just like, you know, but at the same time, I don't know, man, it's like,
you know, with like smoking, I think that there's all the studies that like talk about the actual addictive properties of nicotine and how fast you can break those. But the thing that the hardest thing to break is like having something in your hand, putting something in your mouth. So like quitting with a toothpick is actually much easier, or chewing gum is much right. easier than just quitting. I think you're dead on with that. The rituals I used to go through with eating that were special to me in totally. Some kind of really macabre way was after a night out, going to the drive-thru and then going home and watching TV. And I would think about this all day.
Absolutely. That's it. That was it for me too. It was like coming back from shows, you know, it's like on the East Coast, it's like, I'm a big NBA guy. It would be like, catch the second half of the late game. You've done a couple shows and it's like, and it was like fun. Like, oh, am I going to do halal cart today? Am I going to do like
no,
pizza
that,
and
but that's, yeah. I know New York. Totally. Bro. We go to yeah. Joe's Pizza.
Yeah. Or, yes. Or, yes.
The halal guys on 55th.
Yep.
Or
yep.
down off of on McDougal off of Washington Square, there's the late night gyro place too, not gyro, yeah. but shawarma place.
Mamoon's.
Mamoosh.
Right? Yeah.
I knew all the late night. When I was out of New York, it would be like, here's what's open at 4 a.m.
100%.
Closes later than L.A.
Yeah. Totally. And so I know, man. And it's like, it's hard because part of me just says that. And it's like, I am. Fighting the urge to just be like, bro, let's like just us going back and forth about like despicable meals that we've, because I could do for 7 hours in a row. And it's like, it's, yeah. you know, let's keep it. Let's not make someone relapse by listening. Like some guy's going to be like, that does sound good. And just throw away 8 years of like yeah. progress because of the meals we've just described.
Yeah.
So, but like, yeah, dude, it's hard. Cause it's like, I know it doesn't make me feel good, but it's like, man, is that like just even thinking about it, I'm like, hey, I could do it. It's always that I could do it once. You know yeah. what I mean? It's
don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And oh, that was one thing I meant to do. I'm like, you know, all over the place here. But the one thing that I think I've learned, and when you said that I kind of have like a good attitude towards it, it's just from like failing a ton of times, right? And it's yeah. like, I think the one thing that I'm super certain of now is like, it's not even that you can't occasionally like, you know, eat something you like, right? And it's like, especially the longer you're on it, you know, the easier it is to like maintain your momentum, and that like, you know, something is a bump in the road, it's not something that veers you off completely. But the one thing I know is that like I have to be extra focused when I do any kind of like cheat day or whatever. It's like I just know that about myself. There is no snapping back easily for me, right? Like I'm really easy when I'm on it, and it's like that's been one of the lessons of like, and it's cool to be doing RP because it's like you have someone to talk to who scientifically knows like, oh yeah, if you were to just take a cheat day, Cause like, what do you use? Like when you, when you're on your own, you're like, oh, I'm going to eat nothing the day before. And then I'm going to go crazy and it'll be, it'll balance out. Yeah. And then it's like, I talked to Alex, you know, my coach, and he's like, oh yeah, no, that's absolutely the most insane way to go about, right? Like that's the way that like you're, and he didn't say it that way. He said it scientific. He was like, that's a way to increase hunger levels or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like, but that's what it is. So it's like, my brothers are coming. It's the 30th birthday. I have twin brothers. Nick is the strength coach. And my brother George is a really good artist. They're coming up for their 30th birthdays to New York. You know, everyone's vaccinated. Everyone's like coming. So it'll be fun time to actually spend time together. But I know our family, and Nick's already been like, my brother's already planning the meal. Like literally he's got like an itinerary of where he wants to eat, you know? Right. So it's like, but it's cool to have to talk to my coach about it and be like, how do I prepare for this where it's like not going to completely fuck me up? And it's just like, you know, you actually eat a little more before the cheat day. Like you actually go into maintenance first, and then you go back to afterwards, then you go back to the fat loss, which is completely, I would never have guessed that. I would have never have guessed you eat more before the cheat day, and that way it controls your hunger levels. I would have 100% been like, all right, just going to fucking starve myself for a week before the cheat day. So it's like, that's also part of it, is like, it's also hard because I don't know if you feel this way, but it's like, it really feels like there's no, just like, you can't just go to a book and it's like common knowledge what is good for you. Like it really feels like everyone is even guessing, you know what I mean? It's like even there's so much nutrition information that's so contradictory constantly that it's like, even if you really, really want to make a change, there's so many stumbling blocks. And that's why I've really enjoyed just talking to people that have like studied this so much. And like, you know, if they're not nutritionists, they're PhDs in it or whatever. And it's like, because like you can have the best intentions, but it's like, you can read one thing that tells you to do. And I'm sure everything I just said, there's like some like diet that says, oh no, you have to starve yourself and then like shock the system or something. So
you have to intermittent fast before
every cheat.
When we get into that, I think like for me, and I think this way kind of applied to every facet of life, is like there are different contexts for everything. Mm-hmm. I can only really view the world through the context with I view the world. There's no real way for me to jump out. I can try to see other perspectives and other points of view. I do really try to see that. But at the end of the day, I'm viewing the world through my eyes. And so I can determine what's right for me. But then there's other people who are going like, well, here's what's right. And I can go like, that's awesome. And and like that's really totally cool, and I respect what you're saying, and if that's helpful to people, then that's great. It didn't really work so well for me when I tried a version of that, for whatever reason. Who knows?
Totally.
And if somebody has had a lot of, but I think like to your point, scientifically, I unfortunately, and I tried, I fought against it and nail my whole life, looking for what it was outside of me that was responsible for my condition, for my state, and tried to handle my state by just removing those things that could be told to me to be responsible.
Right.
And I gotta just say at the end of it, it was like, it's not any of that stuff. It's how you're dealing with it. So let's change you and let's figure out how you can interact with these things. And that's been the only thing that's helpful. So I am super interested in hearing about all manner of different types of ways of doing it. But what you're saying, I relate to the most, which is like, you know, I'm not perfect, and it is counterintuitive because of a lot of shit that I've just watched on TV or in pop culture to go like, I know, you know, it's my kid's birthday. I'm going to be in New York on this date to go to Carbone, to take her to Carbone because it's her favorite restaurant.
right.
So I know that the day before that, I'm not withholding calories. I'm actually increasing calories.
I'm not
going to go to fucking Carbone and not eat like a
pig. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know of course. I mean? Like, of course.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
but like that kind of thing. So I think if somebody has a winning solution, I think it's great, but there is a whole hell of a lot that is being touted as the absolute thing for everyone. And then, like you said, it failed for you a number of times.
Yeah.
Same here.
Totally. And no, you're right too, where it's like, yeah, who know, like you just have to find something that works. And to be honest, there's like, I've told you how I've like yo-yoed and different stuff has worked. And like, you know, I did like a version of like, almost like, not quite like the Atkins thing, but like I did a higher fat thing, and that actually for a while that sort of worked for me. And the reason I gained the weight wasn't even because like it did work. There was a time in my life where it did work, and I just went back to my old habits of like just overeating in general. Like I know plenty of people who can go into maintenance with that and everything, but at this point in my life, I can't even imagine doing that. Like, it just like, doesn't seem like the right thing. And you're right. Everything is so context dependent and everything is, but you know, but it would just still be nice if there was like, you know, there are six different ways of doing it. You know what I mean? If there's just like a book, it's like, how the fuck do we not know this? Isn't this like science? Like, it's the human body and it's like gaining and losing weight. Don't we fucking know? Like, don't we know? And even like nutritionists, it's like, I tried to go to nutritionist when I was in at a different attempt, right? That never didn't really pan out. She was a lunatic. She was just like, she was insane. And I'm like, can you just tell me, like, what do I need? I just need you to feel like a person that has read a book and knows what to do. And now, you're just coming at me as like one of the craziest people I've ever met in my life. And it was like, she like made me pay something up front, which should have been like a real red flag. You know what I mean? It's like, what kind of doctor needs like cash payments up front, you know? But it's like, it really, I don't know, man. It's weird to me that it's like, we just don't have like some handbook that's like, here are the advantages to this and certain body types can do that. And, you know, all this kind of shit. It just feels like at this point we would have figured it out, but
I think there's too many people are making too much money.
That's really what it is. Yeah. Like totally.
I look at some of the people on YouTube who are like slanging multivitamins and like showing before and after pics. And I'm just like, and I've even had people ask me to sell multivitamins and I'm like, I've said too many times I don't take vitamins. Like, there's too much evidence that this is bullshit.
I talk
about my wife being like a fucking retail vitamin shopping addict, and then in the cupboard, and like every couple of months we have to buy a whole new batch.
Right.
And I don't take them. Why would I tell people I do? But like, there's a lot of money. I think there's a lot of money in telling people. You know, I had a nutritionist who was completely insane too. Tell me just chicken. That's it. But not just eat chicken. Just don't eat chicken. If you just excise chicken from your diet, you'll be fine. You'll lose all the weight you want. You'll be the healthiest guy ever. Crazy. And I was like 450 pounds at the time. And I was like, okay. You know.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because it's like such a, there's so many factors. I mean, it's like people tie so much of their like worth, self-worth in like looks, and then so much of what looks good, you know, you're taught to think is not being fat, and it's like, and so, and then it's also health, so it's like, it really is like perfect for taking advantage of people, because it's so emotional and it's so like, and the stakes are so high for so many people that you're right. I mean, it's just money, and there's like, there's probably the way, like, you know, there probably could be some kind of like just study that is like public knowledge, but it's like, there's too much like weird money making sure that never happens, you know, there's nothing easy. Like both of us have probably been, if they're both of us have been at a point in our lives where somebody was like, just give me $10,000 and you'll never have to, you'll never have to worry about gaining weight again. I'd be like, yeah, let me strip my home for copper wiring. I will, whatever is going on, I will get that money no matter how broke I am to never have to worry about this. So I mean, you're totally right. But
I have it. I have even this lasting belief that they will simultaneously come out with like the CRISPR gene splicing thing and like edit in a wig for me and a hair growing back thing. And then I'll be like a real Superman, you know what I mean? Like, I'm totally convinced this will happen one day.
I know, it's like, And you know, who knows, maybe we'll. I also feel like it'll probably just happen for like wildly rich people. Like, I think we're just getting to that point where it's like, just one day Jeff Bezos comes out with a full head of hair, never explains it. You know what I mean? It's like, wait, what the fuck? It's
like, Well, we know for sure they haven't done it yet. If he
exactly.
He will be the barometer on that. They figured it out. We're going to get it in 50 years.
Yeah. Too many super rich people look like dog shit for them to have figured any of that stuff out yet, for sure.
Yeah. I wanted to say before we end one more thing to a point you made, and I'm fucking blanking on what it was. Well, maybe I don't have to.
If you remember, it's all good.
Yeah.
I want to also let you know that it's like that. It is really funny that, I mean, not funny, it sucks because like you had so many struggles with your self-image, but it's like, truly you were like a big, like, it was cool to see you like just be awesome and stuff, and you were like a big boy up there, and it was like, it's funny that so that you had like so little of that like self-confidence, because I really feel like for like fat kids and just like fat dudes who are watching, like, it was fucking, you were really were like, you're in that, you're on that Mount Rushmore of guys my age, of like fat kids my age, of like, hell yeah, it's like you, Jonah Hill, you know what I mean, of like, there were just like moments where I was like, the Vader moment for sure. And I was also a big My Name Is Earl head. And there was like, when I'm telling you, like those where I was allowed in the kitchen to just like go buck wild, one of the shows was definitely My Name Is Earl, and a big moment was when you fucked the hot maid on My Name Is Earl. I was just like, hell yeah, dude. It was like, this is for all of us. It was like, your character was like good at fucking, I remember, was like the joke, but I was like, I don't care. I'm like, literally, I don't remember anything else about My Name Is Earl. Like, I enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
That episode where you get to fuck the hot maid, I was like, nice, dude. Hell yeah.
That's seared into my brain. That is exactly what I wanted to talk about. There was something when I, and the BMI has always been a thing for me, because even when I was really approaching the skinniest I got, I went to see a sports medicine doctor, and the first thing he said to me was like, you're 240 pounds. I was 240 at the time, just riding cardio, 8 hours of cardio a day.
Yeah.
And he was like, you got a lot more weight to lose. And I was like, fuck, really? A lot
brutal.
More. And he goes, yes, I can tell you right now, we're going to do a DEXA scan, and I'm going to tell you what your body fat percentage is, and you got a lot more. Cut to, I come back into his office, and he was like, actually, I was totally wrong.
Wow.
You have very low body fat percentage, but you're still real high on the BMI. But because of your skeletal build and this and that, we're not going to tell you have to go on an extreme diet anymore. And that was a bit of a relief. I still lost about 30 pounds.
Wow.
Trying to chase that BMI. But for me, it would have been 185 to get to what the BMI says is a normal. I'm almost 100 pounds heavier than that right now.
You losing 100 pounds would be wild. Yeah.
It's just not.
It doesn't mean shit for sure.
Yeah. I go, fuck, who cares? I'll never be happy doing that. I'll be totally miserable.
Totally. And it's such a weird, like, it feels just like some guy made it up real fast. You know what I mean? It's like, doesn't like height. I mean, I know height, I guess, means something, but yeah. And that's why, honestly, I feel good that it's not, I am lucky that I'm not trying to like really chase a number. I'm not really trying to chase I weigh 270 now, and it's like it would be like in September when I was like, fuck, I got to do something, I weighed 315, right? So it's like I'm 50, you know, 5 pounds away from 50 pounds. It's a nice accomplishment. It feels good. But at the same time, it's like, I don't care what my BMI is. I don't, you know, I don't really need to hit a round number. I don't care to get to 200 or something like that. I just want to, like, you know, just again, get jacked, you know, get some big arms, you know.
Yeah.
The ideal look would be like big arms, like no titties, and just like a little stomach, you know, right, just to keep it around. Like, yeah. I can't have it completely gone. So yeah, because so much of it is just, again, they don't know shit. It's like bullshit. It's like as long as you're feeling healthy, and like, I've been very lucky that like all my blood work and all that stuff is healthy. Don't have it, you know, my blood sugar, all that. I just got, you know, it's like, I feel, but it also feels like on some level, the way I was living, it's like, it's a matter of time, right? It's like, where if I'm going to get that fucked up and eat that much bullshit, it's like, you know, it's just going to happen. You know, you're going to start getting unhealthy at some point. Yeah. So yeah, for me, it's, I'll never, you know, I'd like, in fact, the higher my BMI could be and the healthier I could be, that would make me feel, the dumber I make, you know, science look, right, the better I'd feel, you know, yeah, what I mean?
Like, yeah, I get into a weird thing. Like, I think when you talked about comfort, for me, that's something I utterly relate to. And that was something that I couldn't even recognize at first until I got a little bit of distance from it. And I could really understand how constantly uncomfortable I was.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that kind of made it easy for me to do really crash diets because I was used to being uncomfortable.
That's a great point. Yeah. Yeah. You always feel like shit, but so it's like, what's a different kind of feeling like shit?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, that is the lasting thing of just truly from, like, if nothing else, the, like, if no other goal is out there, the goal is to feel good, like, in every sense, right? In my life, like, it's kind of been pared down to that, where it's like, I want to work on things that make me feel good, you know what I mean? I want to be around people that make me feel good. I want to wake up feeling good. And it's like, that, like, I just was not feeling good at that weight. And honestly, when I start feeling just good and I don't feel like, you know, I no aches and pains, none of, you know, shortness of breath, I'll probably just try, I'll start eating for maintenance at that point and just try and get to a thing. But it's like, you know, we all have these like really, really like complicated goals and there's like 5-year plans and all this stuff. But sometimes I just like pare it down and just like, I just want to have a good time and like feel good while I do it. And it's like, not the good times like I used to have where it's like, yeah, I'm going to be fucking hungover for 2 days afterwards. Or like, I'm going to be like worried, like, oh fuck, I like, what pill was that? You know what I mean? Right. Like, why am I having this side effect? Why am I hot? Why are my ears hot right now? You know what I mean? It's like, just overall feel good. And yeah, health, being healthier is just kind of part of it.
I have health as a goal now more than I ever did. But like, I really have to be honest, I only don't smoke cigarettes now because when my wife was pregnant 2 kids ago, who that kid is now 16, but we have 2 other kids who are even older. So 16 years ago, you know, women, when they get pregnant, a lot of stuff is happening and there's no telling like what they're going to want to eat and what's going to be offensive to their nostrils of this changes every time. And so she gets pregnant and she wakes up one day and goes like, oh, you can't smoke anymore. And I'm like, oh, right. So while you're pregnant, I'm not allowed to smoke. And she goes, no, I smelled that. It made me nauseous and disgusted with you. You're done smoking for good. And I was just kind of like, that wasn't the deal. Like, I understand, like, I'm not allowed to smoke around you. I got to wash my hands and stuff like that. But she was like, no, it's done. I think I would for sure smoke today. And then I say, like, if it was real, if I developed emphysema, I'd probably quit. If I had a severe hacking cough, I'd probably quit. Yeah. But if I was smoking and it was just like, we know that's not healthy, I probably wouldn't care so much.
Right.
So the absolutes of health, I don't know that that's the best. It's never been such a thing for me. And I say that, well, now today I am kind of focused on it. Like, I've gotten into a groove where I can go like, I can get healthier. So how am I going to do that? What am I going to do? And I also am much older than I was. My oldest daughter's engaged and shopping around for OGBYNs right now, which is real crazy. I could wake up a fucking grandfather. And so like, I go like, well, okay, we're gonna have little babies in our life. It's been 16 years. So all of those things, I struggle with trying to sell people on being healthier, because who the fuck knows what people want.
Yeah, no, and it's true. I mean, it's like I said, I understand that I'm also like the weirdest Like this is, it's very like when I was in college, the only reason I lost weight was to get attention from women. And then it's like, I figured out how to do that in other ways. And it was just like, oh great. I love being fat. Like it's not, I don't care. It's like, even like in therapy, my therapist was like, you understand, like most people don't get to be this fat and get to have a, like this good of a dating life. And he was like, it has to come from you. Cause it's like, you're just gonna, like you, that thing where it's like, oh, if I'm going to have sex ever again, I have to lose, like, you know, cause I got to that point where it's like, you know, shout out to some of the real ones that were fucking me at 320. Like, yeah. What's up? If you know, my dick works a little better now. So hit me up if you're listening to the American Glutton podcast. But you're right. It's different things are for different people. And it's like, you're right. I mean, there's plenty of fat people that are healthier than a lot of my fucking friends, you know what I mean? Who are like, that's totally part of it. And, but I think really, dude, and I think it is just a basic thing. It's like, what makes you feel good? That's really it. And it's like, right now I feel good. Like I really was waking up and it was like, it's like you wake up from a full night's rest and you still feel like shit. It's like, what the fuck? Like your body needs to recover from just being you. Like you're just hungover from being you. Like you didn't do anything bad. It's just, that's how fat you are that you need a couple days to just have a good day. So that's it, man. It was like, it's, and we'll see. I mean, I am sort of excited. That's the other thing. I'm nervous about it, right? I'm nervous about getting back to life. And it's not just the weight loss thing. It's like, I don't know, man, this shit with everyone, I feel like who knows how people responded to a year inside, like, and like being so uncertain and being away from so many loved ones and just like so many things that go so against basic human nature. It's like, part of me feels like I went insane. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it broke my brain on some level. And it's like, I'm excited to get back to it, but it's also weird because it's like, I feel like a completely different person in 1 year. Like I feel like a totally different guy. And so I'm excited. I want like these changes to keep going because I also think like, you know, I was living the kind of life where it's like, I had these goals. I really wanted to like, you know, I really wanted to achieve certain things in comedy and I wanted to like do these certain things. And it always felt like, I mean, it's not as cutthroat really, I feel like, as like acting is, like, and it's not as like, you know, dependent on opportunities, at least with stand-up. It's like, oh, I can always go and do stand-up and I can always be working on stuff. And it's like, but it was also always the kind of thing where it's like, I feel like I can't fall behind, right? Like, I feel like if I lose the momentum I have now, it'll never happen for me ever again. And this year sort of forced you to, like everyone kind of fell behind. And it's like, so if you were just worried about competition, it's like, you're tied, right? Like no one moved forward. But at the same time, I also just got a year and I was like, well, what if I fell behind? Like, who gives a fuck? I've lived a year without this shit. And yeah, nobody else got it, but I don't really get, at the end of the day, I don't really care that much. And it's like, so what do I actually want? You know? And it's like, so I'm kind of excited to kind of go back and see if because I also understand, like, you know, this is unsustainable too, just staying in your house, working out all the time. And like, but I'm excited to like meld the two together and see if I can't come up with like, well, what can I be chipping away at my goals and working on them in a way that makes me feel good, while at the same time, just worrying about the basic shit of just feeling good, being around people, making time for the people you really care about. You know, it's like, so, you know, I'm interested.
I think we're going to be, for people who have taken the road you're taking, which I think a fair number have, I suspect probably more have gone the other way.
Yeah. I mean, I did the first half for sure.
Yeah. You know? I think it hasn't been easy because had I not been well into what I'm doing, I would have just gone like, they're telling me to order food and watch TV.
I am going to do it.
But I think hopefully with the way the world reopens or whatever that means, you know, it will be gradual enough that you can maintain and as you're maintaining, figure out, well, this is how I do this now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is how I get around that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's even, I guess the thing that I'm sort of excited about is like, What if it doesn't, right? Because like the world and like this are like, you know, your job and like society and all this shit. It's like it really doesn't. It doesn't like promote like worrying about yourself and worrying about the basic shit of just like taking time for yourself. It's like it is like this kind of like I'm kind of excited to be like, well, fuck it. Like maybe I won't work as like hard or like hard at like certain things, but it's like I guess I'm just like I'm hopeful that like I, and again, I'm very lucky, right? Again, it's like I get to make my money off a podcast. I get to make money off comedy. It's like I had to work real day jobs where I actually earned a fucking living. And this would be a much different conversation. It would be like, fuck, I just have to figure it out. Right. But for me, it's like, because I'm so lucky that I get to make these choices, it's like, spend some of that time on just like myself or just like feel not just myself, but just like the shit that basically like feeling good health, like don't sacrifice health. And if like, and I'm hoping like, you know, maybe that happens in the future for a lot of people who have that opportunity. Cause I feel like the more free time I got and the more like freedom I got, which is always what I wanted, like to work in like a, I was never a good like authority, you know, kind of never good at taking fired from every job I've ever had. You know what I mean? I don't know. The more freedom I got, instead of being like, cool, I get to like go visit my mom and like I get to like eat well and exercise, it actually became like, okay, now what if I do another show this day? It's like, what if I travel again here? What if I like, instead of just like, you know, one, instead of in a weekend, I hit one city and stay there. What if I tack on Thursday and Sunday? And then it's like, I'm, you know, and I leave at four, I take the red eye home and it's like, oh, all this is technically possible. I guess I just like want to stop thinking about what's technically possible and like what can get done while also maintaining all the shit that's important to me, whether that's communicating with like my family, whether that's exercising, just that kind of stuff, you know? So it's exciting. And it's like, hopefully, you know, hopefully I do it. It's not like we talk again in like 3 months and I'm just fucking addicted to heroin. And I'm like, yeah, that shit's actually, I'm done with that bullshit. Actually. I've got a harem. Yeah. I'm actually into polyamory now. And I have my own commune where I'm just getting fucked up
and they're just feeding you.
just big titted women are feeding me chocolate mousse all the time. You know what, just saying that, I actually think I'm gonna shoot for that now. Never mind, I take back the last hour of everything I said, and that's my new life goal, is harem with chocolate mousse getting fed to me.
yeah that is awesome. Well, Stavros, can we check in a few months?
I'd love to, bro. Yeah, let's do it. That'd be great. That'd be great, because it's also like, all right, I can't let the people, the gluttons down. I gotta be on my shit a little bit.
Check in is awesome. They'll love it.
I'd love to check in for sure, bro. Yeah, and actually, I might be in LA in August, so maybe we can even do it like in
studio. We can do live. Yeah, let's do
that. That'd be cool. That'd be cool. Awesome. Hell yeah, dude.
Awesome, man. Awesome, buddy. Thank you so much. This has been an amazing conversation.
Of course. I had a blast. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will for sure talk to you in August. I'm sure I'll talk to you before that, but cool, it will be official.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome, man. See ya.
All right. Take it easy, bro. All right.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And now for the Q&A.
This is a question from Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Paul says, I've gone from 350 pounds to 180 pounds and currently back at 250-ish.
Okay.
I've not stopped putting in the work at the gym. But how do you get back into the nutrition portion? It's like I eat clean all day and then bam, biggity bam, I trip and fall into a half a fifth of whiskey and the munchy demons come out. How did you get back into it when you had fallen from your attempts?
Great question, Paul. And I've fallen many times. I fully empathize with you and your plight. I really had to sit down and look at all the areas that derailed me from my goal and really start to take some of the behaviors out that contributed to these failures. I stopped eating while watching television. I stopped asking my wife or kids to grab me something simply because I wanted to get that extra movement in to, you know, so I was slightly less sedentary. These are just examples. I'm not saying you have to do any of this, but I will say from just from your question and I don't know anything about you other than what you put in your question, I would say maybe think about not hitting that bottle because it sounds like the problem starts there. I'm not telling you have to be a sober person, but if you are having success all day and then drinking a portion of a fifth of whiskey and then going off your diet, what happens if you don't drink that whiskey? Do you not go off your diet? That would be that's my instinct. And this is how I kind of have rearranged my life. I went, where do I keep stumbling? Okay. I'm going to go many steps back from where I actually stumble. And I'm never going to even approach that stumble because it doesn't actually take me causing great hardship to my life in order to avoid the point where I stumble. That's my suggestion to you or anybody else who is having trouble maintaining something. Figure out the thing that is causing you to get knocked off track. Get rid of that thing. Excise that from your life. Build a workaround. Whatever you have to do. If you are at work and you get too hungry and you know, somebody is bringing in a box of donuts in the afternoon and you wind up eating the donuts because you're starving and at that point you can't make a rational decision, bring some food to work so you don't get starving. That is a total just hypothetical thing, but I'm saying like you can safeguard yourself against these points at which we fail. Thank you for the question. If you have a question that you would like me to answer on this podcast, please submit it to AmericanGlutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee, and as always, joined by my chaperone, Paige Dorian. Follow us on Instagram at American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.